This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Here you accept those who believe that from hearing right guidance and are the ones who will truly believe in our revelations, comply with our commands and submit to us, because they have a strong motive to accept advice and exhortation and are ready to believe in every revelation from Allah and to do whatever they are able to do of complying with the commands and prohibitions of Allah. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة يخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. It is Allah who created you in a state of weakness. Then after weakness, He gave you strength. Then after strength, weakness and gray hair. He creates as He wills, and He is the all-knower, omnipotent. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the vastness of His knowledge, the greatness of His might, and the perfect nature of His wisdom, and the beginning of the creation of human beings in a state of weakness. This refers to the first stage of their creation, from a sperm drop to a clinging clot to a chewed lump of flay, until they become living beings in the wombs. Then the human being is born as an infant, very weak, with no strength or ability. Then Allah increases his strength little by little until he reaches the pinnacle of his strength, of his physical strength, and all his faculties, hidden and apparent, reach their peak. Then he moves on from this stage and returns to weakness, gray hair, and old age.
The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says when he describes weakness and then strength, he says hidden and apparent, and that is because there are two qira'as with this in this verse, da'af and du'af. Da'af and du'af, and both of them are from the well-known recitations, the mutawatir readings. Da'af means physical weakness, and du'uf means hidden weakness. Because the child, not only is he physically weak, but the child is also internally weak as well, in terms of its resolve and in terms of being able to do certain things, courage, and those things that the child doesn't have. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla gives a person strength after that weakness, physically and also internally. But then in old age, they become physically weak again, and internally they start to develop weakness as well. So they don't have necessarily the same resolve and the same type of strength internally that they had also when they were younger or in the peak of their strength. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says here, both hidden and apparent, because both of those are readings of this verse.
He creates as He wills, according to His wisdom. By His wisdom, He shows man His weaknesses. He shows man His weakness, and that His strength is preceded by weakness and followed by weakness, and weakness is inherent in Him. Were it not for the help of Allah, he could not have reached any level of power or ability. And if his strength continued to increase, he would transgress, overstep the limits, and become arrogant. People should understand the perfect might of Allah, which is constant and ongoing, by means of which He creates things and controls them, and He never grows weary or weak, and never falls short in any way.
وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ كَذَلِكَ كَانُوا يُؤْفَكُونَ.
On the day when the hour begins, the evildoers will swear that they had not remained in this world for longer than an hour. Thus they were ever diverted from the truth.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانَ لَقَدْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ فَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْبَعْثِ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Those who are given knowledge and faith will say, you remained according to the decree of Allah until the day of resurrection, and this is the day of resurrection, but you did not know.
فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَعْذِرَتُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ.
On that day, no excuse will benefit those who did wrong, nor will they be allowed to make amends. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the day of resurrection and how quickly it will come. When the hour begins, the evildoers will swear by Allah that they had not remained in this world for longer than an hour. This is the excuse they will give in the hope that it will benefit them, because they feel that the duration of this world was very short. Because their words are false and have no real meaning to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thus they were ever diverted from the truth. That is, in the world they were constantly diverted from the truth, and always told lies. In this world, they rejected the truth that was brought by the messengers, and in the hereafter, they will deny something tangible, which is their lengthy stay in this world. This reflects their bad attitude, for each person will be resurrected as he died. Those who were given knowledge and faith, that is, those whom Allah blessed with these favors, which became part of their nature, namely knowledge of the truth and faith that leads to giving precedence to the truth, as they had knowledge of the truth and gave precedence to it. What must result from it is that their words must match reality. Hence, they will say that what is correct. You remained according to the decree of Allah. That is, according to the decree that Allah ordained for you, subject to his rulings, until the day of resurrection. That is, you lived long enough for anyone to pay heed to the reminder, reflect upon it, and learn lessons from it, until the resurrection came and you found yourself in this situation. And this is the day of resurrection, but you did not know. Therefore, you deviated in the previous world and denied the truth, denied the true length of your stay, and you denied that you lived long enough to have been able to repent. So you remained in a state of ignorance, disbelief, and lost. On that day, no excuse will benefit those who did wrong, for if they tell lies and claim that no proof was established against them, or that they did not have the chance to believe, their lies will be exposed by the testimony of the people of knowledge and faith, and by the testimony of their own skin, hands, and feet. If they seek to be excused and be given another chance, saying that they will never go back to what they were told not to do. They will not be given that opportunity, because the time for excuses has ended, and their excuses will not be accepted, nor will they be allowed to make amends.
وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَلَئِنْ جِئْتَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ لَيَقُولَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُبْطِلُونَ.
Verily, we have presented to humankind in this Quran every kind of example. But if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were to come to them with a sign, those who disbelieve would surely say to the believers, "You follow nothing but falsehood."
كذلك يطبع الله على قلوب الذين لا يعلمون.
Thus does Allah seal the hearts of those who have no knowledge.
فاصبر إن وعد الله حق وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَّنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
So be patient, for verily the promise of Allah is true. Do not let those who lack certainty of faith discourage you. Verily we have presented because we care. We are merciful and kind, and we educate in the best way to humankind in this Qur'an every kind of example, in order to clarify realities and so that things will be known and proof will be established. This is general in meaning and applies to all examples that Allah gives, so that ideas may be clarified by means of tangible examples and by telling that which will come to pass and explaining its true nature as if it has already happened. An example of that is seen here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what will happen on the day of resurrection, what the situation of the sinners will be on that day, how regretful they will be, and how no excuse will be accepted from them, nor will they be able to make amends. But the wrongdoers and disbelievers insist on opposing the clear truth. Hence Allah says, but if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were to come to them with a sign that points to the truth of the message you have brought, those who disbelieve would surely say to the believers, "You follow nothing but falsehood." That is, they will say that the truth is false. This stems from their disbelief and audacity, and is because Allah has placed a seal on their hearts, and because of their extreme ignorance. Hence Allah says, thus does Allah seal the hearts of those who have no knowledge. So nothing good enters their hearts, and they do not understand things as they really are. Rather, they see truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth. So be patient in adhering to what is enjoined upon you and in calling them to Allah. And even if you see them turning away, that should not make you give up. For verily the promise of Allah is true. That is, there is no doubt concerning it. This is something that should help one to be patient. For if he knows that his effort will not be wasted and he will in fact find it rewarded in full, what he encounters of hardship will become insignificant and it will become easier for him to bear every difficulty. Do not let those who lack a certainty of faith discourage you. That is, their faith is weak and their certainty is lacking. Therefore, they are lacking in reason and patience. So beware lest they discourage you. For if you are not cautious and do not take precautions, they will discourage you and cause you to not be steadfast in adhering to the commands and prohibitions. And your own inclinations may help them in that, because one may be inclined to be like them and be in agreement with them. This indicates that if a believer has certain faith and a mature outlook, it will be easy for him to remain steadfast. But whoever is lacking in certainty will have an immature outlook. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Rum. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
Now come to the 31st chapter of the Quran, which is Surah Luqman. And Surah Luqman is a Makki surah, according to the majority of the scholars of tafsir. And it is a surah that contains 34 verses.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم. These are the verses of the Book of Wisdom. هدى ورحمة للمحسنين. Guidance and mercy for those who do good. الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون. Those who establish prayer and give zakah and who believe with certainty in the hereafter. أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. It is they who are following guidance from their Lord, and it is they who will prosper. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to respect and veneration for the verses of the Book of Wisdom, for its verses are precise and come from one who is most wise, all aware. One aspect of its being wise and precise is that the wording of its verses is most sublime, eloquent, clear, precise in meaning, and beautiful. Another aspect of its being wise and precise is that it is protected from changes, altercations, additions, omission, and distortion. Moreover, everything in it of stories of the past and future and matters of the unseen are all in accordance with reality, and reality is in accordance with it. None of the divinely revealed books differs with it, and no prophet differed concerning it. There has never been and never will be any knowledge based on the science of sound reasoning that will contradict any of these verses. Another aspect of it being wise and precise is that it never enjoins anything but that thing serves a clear interest, and it never forbids anything but it is bad and harmful. It often connects a command to the wisdom behind it and the benefits it brings, and it connects a prohibition to the reason behind it, mentioning the harm it causes. It combines encouragement, warning, and clear exhortation, by means of which people with good inclinations will be guided and will follow that exhortation and apply it, which will strengthen their resolve to implement it. You will find that the meanings of its verses are repeated, such as the stories and rulings that it contains. All of it is in harmony and in agreement, and there are no contradictions or discrepancies in it. The more the one with understanding reflects upon it and ponders it, the more amazed he will be at the level of harmony and agreement, and he will become certain beyond any doubt that it is a revelation from one who is most wise, most praiseworthy. But although it is wise and precise, and it calls to every noble characteristic and forbids every ignoble characteristic, most people are deprived of being guided by it, and they turn away from believing in it and acting upon it, because except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides and protects from misguidance, they are the ones who do good by worshipping their Lord and showing kindness to others. Indeed, it is guidance for them. It guides them to the truth, to the true path. It guides them to the straight path and warns them against this path that lead to hell, and mercy for them, by means of which they may attain happiness in this world and the hereafter, much good, great reward and joy, and misguidance and misery may be warded off from them. Then Allah describes those who do good as being people of sound knowledge, which is certain faith that requires one to strive and fear the punishment of Allah, so they refrain from disobeying Him. And He describes them as people who take action, singling out two good deeds for mention: prayer, which involves devotion, conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other actions of the heart, words, and physical movements, and which helps them to do all kinds of good deeds, and zakah, which purifies the giver of bad characteristics, benefits his Muslim brethren, and meets his needs. And by means of it, a person demonstrates clearly that he gives precedence to Allah, he gives precedence to love of Allah over love of wealth, and that he gives away what he loves of wealth for the sake of Allah, for the sake of that which is dearer to him, which is attaining the pleasure of Allah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions these two pillars of Islam again, Salah and Zakah. And Salah is mentioned here, as the author says, because it helps to perform every other good deed. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek Allah's assistance through prayer and patience. because the prayer is the essence of all good. So if you are performing the salah, it becomes easier for you to perform other good deeds, because the salah, from it, you do Quran, dhikr, and so many other dua, so many other good deeds revolve around the salah, coming to the masjid, many good deeds revolve around the salah. And the zakah, because it speaks about helping others and being of benefit to others and sacrificing for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and fighting your desires and your love for wealth and those things of the dunya that are enticing.
It is they, namely those who do good, combining proper knowledge with action, who are following guidance. The word translated here as guidance appears in the indefinite form, which indicates that it is great. This guidance comes to them from their Lord, who always cares for them, bestows different kinds of blessings on them, and wards off harm from them.
So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ula'ika ala huda, the author says it's the indefinite form, meaning it's in the general form. It's not specified what type of guidance. Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say this type of guidance or that type of guidance. He says they will have guidance, meaning of every form and every type.
This guidance that was sent to them is part of Allah's special care for His close friends, and it is the highest level of care. And it is they who will prosper, for it is they who will attain the pleasure of their Lord and His reward in this world and the hereafter. And they will be safe from His wrath and punishment because they follow the path of success to which there is no other path. Having mentioned those who are guided by the Quran and are focused on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions those who turn away from it and pay no attention to it, stating that they will be punished for that. Because by focusing on all kinds of frivolous talk, they have shunned the most sublime of words and the best of speech, replacing it with the lowest and ugliest of speech. Therefore Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. But among people are some who resort to frivolous talk in order to mislead others from the path of Allah without knowledge and to make a mockery of it. For such, there will be a humiliating punishment. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْهَا كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. When our verses are recited to such a person, he turns away arrogantly, as if he did not hear them, as if there were deafness in his ears. So give him the tidings of a painful punishment.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ.
But for those who believe and do righteous deeds, there will be gardens of delight.
خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
To abide therein forever. This is a true promise from Allah, and He is the Almighty, Most Wise. But among people are some who are deprived and left to their own devices. They resort to, that is, they choose and prefer frivolous talk, that is, talk that distracts people's minds and prevents them from attaining sublime goals. This includes all kinds of prohibited speech and all kinds of idle talk, falsehood and nonsense that encourages disbelief, evil doing and sin, as well as the talk of those who oppose the truth and argue on the basis of falsehood in order to undermine the truth, backbiting, malicious gossip, lying, reveling, insulting, singing and musical instruments of the shaitan, and foolish talk in which there is no benefit in either religious or worldly terms.
Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about these people and He says that they purchase frivolous talk. And then the author Rahimahullah Ta'ala mentions what that means, and he gives a number of examples, and from them is singing and musical instruments. Singing and musical instruments in the tafsir of this wording is what you will find the vast majority of the Salaf upon. When they gave tafsir of this verse, the companions, the tabi'een, many of the scholars were of the position that what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to here, frivolous talk that takes you away from the path of Allah, makes you heedless of Allah's remembrance, is referring to music and singing. And that was to the extent that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh swore an oath by Allah that that's what it's referring to. And you will find the vast majority of the companions and the tabi'een upon that position. And the point that I'm mentioning here is not to go into this issue of music and it's haram or whatever it may be, but to show to you a principle of tafsir. And that is that when you see amongst the early scholars, the companions, the tabi'een, all of them pretty much agreeing on one position, it shows you therefore that it's something which isn't just the opinion of one companion or some companions or the difference of opinion. This was the overall understanding that those generations had of the early Muslims. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about music and singing, because it is something which diverts a person away from Allah Azza wa Jalla's remembrance. As the scholars used to say, that you can't have the words of Allah, the speech of Allah, and the speech of shaitan in a single heart. One must drown out the other. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to stay away from those things that will make us heedless of Allah's remembrance.
This type of people choose idle talk over guidance in order to mislead others from the path of Allah without knowledge. That is, after going astray by their actions, they lead others astray, because misguidance of others stems from being misguided themselves. This frivolous talk misguides others by distracting them from beneficial talk, beneficial deeds, clear truth, and the straight path. Such a person cannot achieve that unless he criticizes guidance and truth, makes a mockery of the verses of Allah, and ridicules them and the one who brought them. If he combines praise and promotion of falsehood with casting aspersions upon the truth and ridiculing it and its followers, he will lead astray those who have no knowledge and are deceived by what he tells them of arguments and statements in which that misguided person can see no flaws and does not know what he is really talking about. For such, there will be a humiliating punishment for going astray, leading others astray, ridiculing the revelation of Allah and rejecting the clear truth. When our verses are recited to such a person so that he may believe in them and submit to them, he turns away arrogantly. That is, he turns away rejecting them because he is too arrogant to believe in them. They do not enter his heart or have an impact on him. Rather, he turns away as if he did not hear them, and indeed as if there was a deafness in his heart such that no sound could reach his ears. There is no way that such a person can be guided.
As the Quraysh used to do, when the verses of Allah were being recited upon them, they would turn away, they would flee, they would ignore it. But when they had other types of singing or poetry or whatever it may be being recited, they would go towards it and they would listen attentively. And that shows that it's something which is not from the signs of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not a good trait for a Muslim that when Allah's verses are revealed, also recited or read, well, the Quran is being played, that they feel an aversion to it, that they don't want to listen, or it becomes heavy. That's from shaitan, that it makes it feel burdensome upon you. They feel heavy. Some people pick up the Quran, and after a page or so, they just get tired. It becomes difficult for them. They stop. But give them something else, a book to read, something else. They can read for hours, do everything else for a great deal of an extended period of time. And that shows that those people, their iman is weak. They need to work on that aspect, because the book of Allah Azza wa Jal should give us more contentment, more pleasure, more happiness than anything else that we come across or read.
So give him the tidings, that is, tidings that will fill his heart with grief and distress and will reflect on his appearance, making him look gloomy and dusty, of a painful punishment which will cause both psychological and physical pain. And no one can estimate how painful or how great it will be. These are the tidings to be given to the evildoers, and what bad tidings they are. As for the tidings that will be given to those who do good, Allah says, but for those who believe and do righteous deeds, thus combining inward worship in the sense of faith and outward worship in the sense of complying with Islamic teachings in their conduct and doing righteous deeds, there will be gardens of delight. This is glad tidings to them for their righteous deeds, to abide therein forever in gardens that will be filled with delights, psychological, spiritual, and physical. This is a true promise from Allah that cannot be broken, changed, or altered. And He is the Almighty, Most Wise. He is perfect in might and perfect in wisdom. By His might and wisdom, He guides some and forsakes others, according to what His knowledge and wisdom dictate.
خلق السماوات بغير عمد ترونها وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وبث فيها من كل دابة وأنزلنا من السماء ماء فأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج كريم.
He created the heavens without any pillars that you can see. He set on the earth a mountain standing firm, lest it shake with you. And he scattered throughout the earth creatures of all kinds. We send down rain from the sky and cause to grow therein all kinds of beneficial plants.
هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه بل الظالمون في ضلال مبين.
This is Allah's creation, so show me what others whom you worship besides Him have created. Nay, the wrongdoers are clearly misguided. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights to His slaves some of the signs of His might and some of the wonders of His precision, of his precise creation and blessings, which are signs of his mercy. He created the heavens, that is the seven heavens, in all their greatness, vastness, profundity, and great height, without any pillars that you can see. That is, they have no pillars, for they have no, if they did have pillars, they would be visible. Rather, they only remain firm and stable by the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning the heavens above us, he says they have been created without any بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, without any pillars, and then he says that are visible. The author rahimahullah ta'ala says that means that there are no pillars there, because if there had been pillars, then you would see them. And that is the tafsir of some of the salaf, such as Al-Hasan al-Basri and Qatada alayhim wa rahmatullah, in which case the translation should be read as, he created the heavens without any pillars, as you can see, meaning that it's not visible in front of you. Because the other tafsir amongst the scholars, such as the tafsir of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Mujahid, Ikrimah, some of the early scholars of tafsir, is that there are pillars there, but they're not visible to you. In which case this translation is better. He created the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Meaning the pillars are there, they're just invisible to you. Allah Azza wa Jal has kept them away from your eyes. And both of them, you know, it's possible. Both of them, you will find early scholars with tafsir having both positions, and Allah knows best.
Rather, the only, he set on the earth mountains standing firm. That is great mountains which he has set in various regions and parts of the earth, lest it shake with you. Were it not for the mountains standing firm, the earth would shake, and it would not be stable for its inhabitants to settle on it. And he scattered throughout the earth creatures of all kinds, that is, he scattered throughout the vast earth all kinds of creatures that are made to be of service to the sons of Adam, to serve their interests and benefit them. As he scattered them throughout the earth, he knew that there should be provision to sustain these creatures, so he sends down from the sky blessed water and causes to grow therein all kinds of beneficial plants that are beautiful to behold and are beneficial and blessed. So the creatures that are scattered throughout the earth graze on them, and animals turn to them for food and shelter. This, namely, the creation of the upper and lower realms, inanimate objects and animate beings, and the provision of sustenance to them, is Allah's creation. That is created by Him alone, with no partner. Everyone acknowledges that, even you, O polytheist. So show me what others whom you worship besides Him have created. That is, those whom you describe as partners of Allah, and you call upon them and worship them, which would imply that they should have a creation like His and grant provision like His. If they have any of that, then show it to me in order to prove your claim that they deserve to be worshipped.
And this is from the challenges that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to the disbelievers, that these gods that you're worshipping besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, all of this that you can see is Allah's creation. So what did they create? Show me what they created. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the other verse, أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Show me which part of the earth they created. Point to it. Say, that mountain belongs to that God, or that part of the earth they created, or that part of the heavens belongs to them. What do they create besides Allah Azza wa Jal?
But it is well known that they are not able to show Him anything that these so-called partners have created, because they acknowledge that all the things mentioned here were created by Allah alone, and there is nothing else known other than what is mentioned here. Thus it is established that they are unable to prove anything that their gods created for which they would deserve to be worshipped. In fact, they worship them without knowledge or understanding. Rather, it is based on ignorance and misguidance. Hence Allah says, nay, the wrongdoers are clearly misguided. That is, they are obviously misguided because they worshipped that which has no power to bring benefit or cause harm, or to cause death, give life, or resurrect. And they fail to show sincere devotion to the Creator, the Provider, the Sovereign of all things.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ.
Indeed, we granted it wisdom to Luqman, saying, be grateful to Allah. Whoever is grateful, his gratitude is to his own benefit. And whoever is ungrateful, then surely Allah is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise.
وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ.
And remember when Luqman said to his son, as he was advising him, O my son, do not associate anything in worship with Allah and with Allah, for associating others in worship with Him is indeed grievous wrongdoing.
ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير.
We have enjoined upon man kindness to his parents in travel. Upon travel, his mother bears him and his weaning takes place within 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents. Unto me is the return of all.
وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
But if they endeavor to make you ascribe partners to me of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them, but keep company with them in this world kindly, and follow the way of those who turn to me. Then to me you all return, and I will inform you about what you used to do.
يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكون في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير.
Luqman said, O my son, even if a deed is the weight of a grain or mustard seed, and it is hidden in a rock or in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Verily Allah is the knower of subtleties, the all-aware.
يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور.
O my son, establish prayer, enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Be patient and steadfast in the face of whatever befalls you. That is something that must be adhered to, as enjoined by Allah.
وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ.
Do not turn your face away from people in contempt, and do not walk on the earth with insolence. Verily, Allah does not love anyone who is conceited and boastful.
وَقَصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ.
Be moderate in your gait and lower your voice. Verily, the most hideous of sounds is the voice braying of the donkey. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the blessing of wisdom that He bestowed upon His virtuous slave, Luqman, which refers to attaining proper knowledge concerning the truth and understanding the wisdom behind different issues of knowledge.
That Allah azza wa jal gives to us the story of Luqman. And Luqman is after whom the surah is named. And the vast majority of the scholars of tafsir are of the position that Luqman was a righteous slave of Allah azza wa jal and not a prophet of Allah. Even though you will find some from amongst the tabi'een that said that he was a prophet. But what seems to be more apparent is that he was a righteous slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors him and praises him. And that shows that a person who doesn't reach the level of prophethood, if they have iman and righteous deeds, and they have knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and his religion, they can reach a very high status in terms of their nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something which we know from our ummah, the companions and the scholars who follow them have an exalted status in this religion because of their iman and their knowledge and their deeds. So here Allah Azza wa Jal says concerning Luqman alayhi salam that he was given hikmah. So Luqman is a prophet, is a righteous slave. And that's also established or supported by what is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said concerning these statements of Luqman alayhi salam in this surah, he said, what the Abdul Salih said, what the righteous slave of Allah said. And had he been a prophet, he would have said what Allah's prophet said, what Allah's messenger said. So that seems to be the position that is stronger, and it is the position of the majority of the scholars of Islam, that Luqman alayhi salam was from those people that Allah Azza wa Jal honored through his iman and through his righteous deeds and knowledge. And that also gives to us a principle from the Quran, that not every righteous person whose name is mentioned in the Quran has to be a prophet. And not every person whose name isn't mentioned in the Quran, but their story is that they're not a prophet. So here we have Luqman, his name is mentioned. My name is mentioned, but he's not a prophet of Allah. And then we have in the story of Surah Al-Kahf, Khadir being mentioned in a story, but by no name. And he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, according to many of the scholars of Islam. And so it's not necessary, because some of the scholars said, no, Allah Azza wa Jalla only mentions the names of prophets in the Quran. But that's not necessarily the case in terms of the men. Allah Azza wa Jalla can mention the names of others as well. And Allah knows best.
That is knowledge of rulings and learning the subtle reasons behind them and how precise and proper they were. A man may be knowledgeable without being wise. Wisdom is based on knowledge and also actions. Hence, wisdom is described as being beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds.
That is why in the verse that we took in Surah Baqarah, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah gives wisdom to whomsoever He wills, and whoever is granted wisdom is granted a great deal of good. Because wisdom is to know what to do in that place at that time. What's the correct action for that setting? And so the Prophet ﷺ was wise, because there were times when he would be kind, and times when he would be strict, and times when he would be angry, and times when he would laugh. He would know in each and every single place what is the appropriate thing to do. And that is hikmah, to understand in every situation what is the best course of action. So Allah Azza wa Jalla praises Luqman ﷺ, and he describes him as a man of wisdom. Because this evidence, this advice that he gives now to his son that we will see, he speaks to him about all of the issues that he needs to be successful in this life and the next, and he does it in a very succinct few words. Very short advice that he gives, but it's enough. He will speak to him about issues of aqidah and belief, issues of worship and good deeds, and issues of character. And that's all that we need to do for our children. Those three are the most important things. Their belief that is correct with regards to the iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, the good deeds that they do and the righteous actions, their worship for Allah Azza wa Jal, and then the character that they have and the way that they behave and the way that they conduct themselves. And Luqman alayhi salam will mention all of that here within this passage.
Having bestowed this great blessing upon him, Allah instructed him to give thanks for what he had given him, so that he might bless him, so that he might bless it for him and increase him in virtue. He told him that the benefit of gratitude comes back to the grateful. But if a person is ungrateful and does not give thanks to Allah, then negative consequences of that will come back to him. Allah has no need of such a person, and He is praiseworthy in all that He decrees and ordains for the one who goes against His command. Among His essential attributes, He has no need of anyone, and He is praiseworthy for all His perfect attributes and praiseworthy for all His beautiful actions. Each of these two attributes is an attribute of perfection, and adding one of them to the other is perfection upon perfection. The commentators differed as to whether Luqman was a prophet or a righteous slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tells us that He gave him wisdom and told us something about His exhortation of His son, which is indicative of His wisdom, namely the foundations and main pillars of wisdom. And remember when Luqman said to his son, as he was advising him, or he said some words to him, exhorting him with commands and prohibitions, encouragement and warnings, he instructed him to show sincere devotion to Allah alone and forbade him to ascribe partners to Him, explaining to him the reason for that by saying, for associating others in worship with Allah with Him is indeed grievous wrongdoing. The reason why it is grievous is that there is nothing more horrendous or abhorrent than one who regards that which was created from dust as equal to the sovereign of all things, and he regards the one who has no control over anything as equal to the one who has control over all things, and he regards one who is lacking in all ways as weaker to the perfect Lord who is self-sufficient in all respects, and he regards the one who does not bestow even an atom's weight of blessings as equal to the one who bestows every single blessing that is bestowed upon humankind in terms of their spiritual and worldly affairs, and who wards off evil from them. Can there be any wrongdoing more grievous than this?
And that is when the verse of the Quran which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who have iman and they don't dilute their iman with any type of oppression. Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, which believer doesn't oppress? Every believer commits oppression. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's not the meaning of oppression here, but rather the meaning of oppression is what Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Surah Luqman. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. That shirk is the worst form of oppression. That's what he means. Don't mix your iman with shirk of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And why is it shirk? The author says, because oppression, why is shirk called oppression or the greatest form of oppression? Because oppression is when you withhold the rights of others. That's oppression. And the greatest right upon creation is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you withhold the right of Allah, of worshipping Him alone, then it is the greatest form of oppression.
Is there any wrongdoing greater than that that of one whom Allah created to worship Him and affirm His oneness, yet he decides to degrade his noble soul and bring it down to the lowest of ranks by making it a worshipper of that which has no value, thus wronging himself greatly, having enjoined fulfillment of his rights by refraining from ascribing partners to him, which means adhering to affirmation of his oneness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then enjoined fulfillment of the rights of his of parents. We have enjoined upon man kindness to his parents. That is, we have commanded him and given him instructions to that effect, and we will question him as to how he did that and whether he complied or not. We said to him, be grateful to me by worshipping me, fulfilling my rights, and not using my blessings to disobey me, and to your parents by showing kindness to them, speaking gently to them, behaving nicely with them, being humble towards them, honoring them, respecting them, taking care of them, and avoiding mistreating them in any way, in word or deed. We gave him this advice, and we told him that unto me is the return of all. That is, you, O humankind, will all return to the one who instructed you and enjoined these duties upon you, and he will ask you, did you fulfill them so that he might reward you immensely, or did you neglect them so that he might punish you severely?
And the rights of the parents is something which is mentioned and stressed a number of times in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the greatest rights that someone has upon you from the creation are the rights of the parents. And there are numerous hadith in that regard, and it is called by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith as one of the best deeds, second only to salah. He was asked, what is the best of deeds? He said, to pray at its correct time, to offer the salah at its earliest time. And then he was asked, what's next? He said, to honor your parents. And so the Sharia honors the parents because of the level or the rights that they have over me, over us, in every single issue. To the extent that the man came and he said to the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, my father took some of my money and he didn't seek my permission. Didn't ask for my permission, he just took it. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Anta wa maluka li abik." You and your wealth belong to your father. Meaning he doesn't need to ask your permission. Your father has to ask you after all he did for you and served you and sacrificed for you. And now he wants to take some of your money, he borrows you £100 and you expect him to come and sign a contract and take out a loan agreement. Is this the way that you respect your parents? And that is why when the man traveled to the Prophet ﷺ from far, came all the way and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I've come to make the bay'ah to you, to fight alongside you." The Prophet ﷺ said, are your parents alive? He said, yes, I left them by themselves. He said, go back and make jihad with them instead. This man wanted to be a companion, wants to study, wants to pray with the Prophet ﷺ, wants to spend his life with him. He said, no, go back and make jihad with them instead. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ praised Uwais al-Qarni, even though that man never met him, never became a companion, but he lived at his time. And the Prophet ﷺ praised him because he was living in Yemen, and the only thing that stopped him from coming to Medina was his elderly mother that he was looking after. And Allah Azza wa Jalla praised him and he said, this is a man that ready to make a dua to Allah, Allah would accept it. And he said to the companions, if you ever make it, if you ever meet him, then ask him to make istighfar for you. Ask him to Allah, seek Allah's forgiveness for you. Shows the honor and the level of honor that our parents deserve in this religion.
Then he tells us the reason why parents are to be honored, which has to do with the mother. In travail upon travail, his mother bears him. That is, in hardship upon hardship, she continues to go through hardship from the time when he is a sperm drop, faced with cravings, sickness, weakness, heaviness, and changing moods, which is followed by the severe pain of childbirth. Then his weaning takes place within 2 years, and throughout these 2 years, he enjoys the care of his mother. Is it not appropriate that in the case of the one who bears all this hardship because of her child, yet loves him dearly, the child is emphatically enjoined and instructed to show the highest level of kindness to that person.
And that is why the Sunnah gives the mother an extra level of rights. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, who has the most right to my companionship? He said, your mother, and then your mother, and then your mother, and then your father. And that's because of what Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning here, the hardship that she goes through, and what she has to bear and be patient with. And she does that all willingly and from love. And that is why the scholars used to say the difference and why Allah Azza wa Jalla gave the parents that right and not the child, is because when the child is a baby, when we are babies and our parents looking after us, they do so out of love and care. They'll sacrifice because they love us and they do it willingly and happily. But when our parents become old and we have to look after them, we do it begrudgingly. It's a burden, it's difficult. And that's the difference between the two. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla honored them. And that is why when the man was making tawaf, carrying his mother on his back, the whole of the 7 seconds of tawaf, and he saw Ibn Umar and he said, Ibn Umar, do you think I've repaid my mother for what she did for me? He said, not even a single push when she was giving birth to you. Not even that. Even despite what you've done. All that she did for you, there's nothing that you can do. And that is why the Sharia places a great deal of respect for them. And if you were to gather the rulings of the Sharia and the concessions that he makes for the parents, then there are many that you will see within the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But if they, namely your parents, endeavor to make you ascribe partners to me of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. And do not think that this comes under the heading of kind treatment of them because of the rights of Allah, because the rights of Allah take precedence over the rights of anyone else. And there is no obedience to any created being if it involves disobedience towards the Creator.
And so therefore, if that is the parents, that despite all of these rights that we mentioned, all of these virtues, but when it comes to Allah's religion, if they tell you to do something haram, you can't obey them, then what about everyone else? Why listen to your spouse or your children or your friends or just society in general? Allah gave to the parents that honor and virtue, but even they can't overrule the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even they can't command you to do something which is haram, let alone then anyone else who has less virtue and less status.
Allah did not say, but if they endeavor to make you ascribe partners to me of which you have no knowledge, then treat them badly or be defiant towards them. Rather, he said, then do not obey them. That is, by ascribing partners to Allah. As for honoring them and treating them kindly, one should persist in that. Hence, Allah says, but keep company with them in this world kindly. That is, keep them company in a kind way. As for following them when they are in a state of disbelief and disobedience, do not follow them.
And that is one of the verses, therefore, that shows the rights of the parents, that even when they're encouraging you to commit shirk and motivating you and encouraging you and enticing you, despite all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still says, treat them with kindness and fairness. That's the rights of the parents. Even when they're actively encouraging you to do the greatest sin upon earth, even then they have rights that Allah azza wa jal gives to them.
And follow the way of those who turn to me, namely those who believe in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers, those who submit to their Lord and turn to him. Following their path means behaving like them in turning to Allah, meaning that all one's emotions and will are focused on Allah, which is then followed by physically taking action to do that which pleases Allah and brings one closer to him. Then to me you will all return, both those who obey Allah and those who disobey Allah, those who turn to him and those who do not. And I will inform you about what you used to do, for nothing is hidden from Allah of their deeds.
This verse and the one before it that speaks about the rights of the parents, the scholars differ. Are these from the words of Luqman? Is Luqman saying this to his son? Or is this something that Allah Azza wa Jalla inserted into the story? As we mentioned before, that sometimes in the middle of a story, Allah Azza wa Jalla inserts principles and lessons because of their importance. And many of the scholars of the tafsir were of the position that this is inserted by Allah and not from the speech of Luqman, because Luqman, when he addresses his son, each time he says, ya bunay, my son. But these two verses, he doesn't say that. And that's why many of the scholars of tafsir were of that position, that Allah Azza wa Jalla inserts this. Because after Allah mentions the first advice of Luqman, which is the right of Allah to be worshipped alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights of parents, because from the rights of creation, they have the greatest of rights, and Allah knows best.
Luqman said, O my son, even if a deed is the weight of a grain or of mustard seed, which is the smallest and most insignificant of things, and is hidden in a rock that is in the middle of it, or in the heavens, or in the earth, in any direction whatsoever, Allah will bring it forth because of his vast knowledge, perfect awareness, and perfect might. Hence he says, verily Allah is the knower of subtleties, though all aware. That is, he is subtle in his knowledge and awareness to the extent that he is aware of all that is hidden and secret, and all that is hidden on land and in the sea. The point of mentioning this is to urge people to remember that Allah is always watching, and to do acts of obedience as much as possible, and to warn against doing evil deeds, small or great.
So Luqman alayhi salam is establishing in the heart of his son the knowledge of Allah and his fear subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if you were to do the smallest of deeds and hide it in the bottom of a rock or in the depths of the earth or the depths of the ocean, Allah would know it and he would bring it forth. And that is the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so especially younger children, or as they're growing up into their teen years, to place into them that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is all watching, all hearing, all knowing. You can hide from everyone, but you can't hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to give them then that confidence that Allah Azza wa Jal is with the believers and Allah helps them. And if they are patient with Allah, Allah will be in their help. And if they turn away from Allah, then no one can help them without Allah's power or might. As the Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, that if all of the people were to unite to harm you, they couldn't harm you except if Allah decreed. and if they all came together to benefit you, they couldn't do so, and as Allah decreed.
Oh my son, establish prayer. Prayer is encouraged and singled out for mention because it is the greatest of physical acts of worship. Enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. This requires one to have knowledge of what is right so that he may enjoin it, and to have knowledge of what is wrong so that he may forbid it. That without which one cannot enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong is also enjoined, such as kindness and patience. That is stated clearly in the words, be patient and steadfast in the face of whatever befalls you. He should do what he enjoins others to do and refrain from what he forbids others what he forbids them to do. Thus, he will be striving to perfect himself by doing good and refraining from evil, and will be striving to perfect others by enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong.
So this is now the second part of his advice. The first part was to do with Allah Azza wa Jalla and issues of belief. Now it is to do with issues of action and worship. Establish the prayer, command what is good, forbid what is wrong, be patient upon that. Meaning that in order for you to persevere in Allah's worship, his ibadah, his salah, ordering the good, forbidding the evil, it requires a great deal of patience. Because that is when difficulty comes upon you, either from shaitan or from the other people around you.
Because Allah knew that man would inevitably be faced with troubles if he enjoins what is right and forbids what is wrong, and that doing this is difficult for people, he enjoined them to be patient and steadfast in doing it. Be patient and steadfast in the face of whatever befalls you, that which Luqman advised his son to do, is something that must be adhered to, as it is enjoined by Allah. That is one of the things that must be adhered to and paid attention to. And no one is able to attain that except people of strong resolve. Do not turn your face away from people in contempt. That is, do not frown at people out of ignorance towards them, looking down on them. And do not walk on the earth with insolence. That is, with arrogance, feeling pride because of the blessings that have been bestowed upon you, whilst forgetting the bestower and being filled with self-admiration.
And now we come on to the third part of advice, and that is to do with etiquettes and character. And so Luqman alayhi salam is saying to his son, don't be from those people who walk away from others in contempt. Don't walk upon the earth with arrogance. Don't look down upon others. These are from the etiquettes that the believer should have.
Verily, Allah does not love anyone who is
conceited
in the way he thinks of himself and carries himself, and boastful in his speech. Be moderate in your gait. That is, walk humbly and modestly, not in the manner of one who is insolent and arrogant, or in the manner of one who is weak and exhausted. And lower your voice out of good manners towards people and towards Allah. Verily, the most hideous of sounds, that is the ugliest and most abhorrent, is the voice braying of the donkey. If there was any benefit in raising the voice of the donkey, which is known for being ignoble and stupid, would not have been singled out for mention. This advice which Luqman gave to his son represents the main point of wisdom and implies those that were not mentioned. Each piece of advice is mentioned with a reason that motivates one to comply with it. This supports what we have mentioned about the meaning of wisdom, which is that it means knowing the rulings, understanding the reasons behind them, and knowing when and how to implement them. Luqman enjoined on his son the foundation of religion, namely the affirmation of the oneness of Allah. He forbade him to ascribe partners to Allah and explained why he should avoid doing that. He instructed him to honor his parents and explained the reason for doing so. He instructed him to give thanks to Allah and to his parents. Then he highlighted that the injunction to honor them and comply with their instructions is only applicable so long as they do not enjoin sin. Yet he should still not mistreat them or turn against them if they do tell him to commit sins. Rather, he should treat them kindly, even if he does not obey them, when they endeavor to make him ascribe partners to Allah. He instructed him to remember that Allah is always watching and reminded him to fear the time when he will stand before him. For Allah will not leave any deed, small or great, good or bad, but he will bring it. He forbade him to be arrogant and instructed him to be humble. He forbade him to be insolent, boastful, or conceited. He instructed him to show humility in the way he moves and talks, and forbade him to do the opposite of that. He instructed him to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, to establish prayer and to be steadfast and patient. By means of prayer and patience, everything is made easy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So it is no wonder that the one who gave these instructions must be a man who is blessed with wisdom and was well known for that. Hence, one of the blessings that Allah bestows upon him and upon all his slaves is that he told them the story of his wisdom so that he might be a good example to them.
أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ.
Do you not see that Allah has made all that is in the heavens and on earth to be of service to you? And he has showered you with his blessings, both apparent and hidden. Yet among people there are some who dispute about Allah without knowledge, without guidance, and without any clear revealed text.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدَنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
When it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they say, nay, we will follow the ways of our forefathers. Would they do that even if Shaitan is calling them to the punishment of the raging fire? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds his slaves of his blessings and calls upon them to give thanks for it and acknowledge it and not to be heedless about it. Do you not see that is... Do you not witness and see with your own eyes and think of it in your hearts that Allah has made all that is in the heavens of the sun, moon, and stars, which he has made to be of service and benefit to people, and on earth of animals, trees, crops, rivers, meadows, and the like, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, is he who created for you all things that are on earth to be of service to you, and he has showered you with his blessings. That is, he has bestowed his blessings upon you in abundance. His blessings, both visible and hidden, those of which we are aware and those which are hidden from us. Worldly blessings and spiritual blessings, granting good things and warding off harm. So your job is to give thanks for these blessings by loving the bestower, submitting to him and using them to help you obey him, not using any of them to disobey him.
Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses us with many blessings. From them are those that are visible that we can see. From them are those that are hidden that we cannot see. And some of the scholars of Tafsir, they said, for example, the apparent visible blessings, Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the hidden blessings that we don't always appreciate is that Allah Azza wa Jal veils our sins from others. That's from the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the sins that we do are hidden from the eyes of others. Because if everyone was to know all of the sins that every one of us commits, then people would have a very different image of us and they would treat us in a very different way. All of us have many sins. And so Allah veils them and He conceals them. And that is a sign of Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy and from His greatest blessings.
Yet even though these blessings keep coming one after another, among people there are some who do not give thanks for them. Rather, they are ungrateful for them and they disbelieve in the one who bestows them. They deny the truth that He revealed in His books and with which He sent His messengers. So they dispute about Allah, that is, they dispute on the basis of falsehood, trying to undermine the truth. And on that basis, they reject what the Messenger ﷺ brought of the command to worship Allah alone. The one who argues in this manner has no understanding, so his argument is not based on knowledge, such that he might be left to carry on and his words might be tolerated, without guidance that people could follow, and without any clear revealed text that explains the truth, so that his arguments is not based on any rational foundation or religious text, and is not based on following those who are guided. Rather, his argument about Allah is based on imitating forefathers who were not guided, and who in fact misguided others. Hence Allah says, when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed at the hands of his messengers, for it is the truth, and clear proof is presented to them. They say, objecting to that, nay, we will follow the ways of our forefathers, and we will not give up what we found our forefathers following for the words of anyone, no matter who he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, refuting them and their forefathers, would they do that, even if Shaitan is calling them to the punishment of the raging fire, and their forefathers responded to Shaitan, following him and becoming his students, and thus they became confused. Does that dictate that they should follow them and walk their path? Rather, that should make them too scared to follow their path and highlight their misguidance and the misguidance of those who follow them. The call of the shaitan to their forefathers and to them was not based on love or friendship towards them. Rather, it was based on enmity towards them and on deceiving them. In fact, his followers are among his enemies over whom he was able to gain control. And he was very satisfied when the punishment of the raging fire became inevitable for them as a result of their accepting his call.
وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ
Whoever submits himself completely to Allah and is a doer of good has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. Allah decides the outcome of all matters.
وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ إلينا مرجعهم فننبئهم بما عملوا إن الله عليم بذات الصدور
Whoever disbelieves, do not let his disbelief sadden you. To us they will return, and we will inform them about what they used to do. Verily Allah knows well what is in their hearts.
نمتعهم قليلا ثم نضطرهم إلى عذاب غليظ.
We will allow them to enjoy life for a little while, then we will drive them to a harsh punishment. Whoever submits himself completely to Allah, that is, he humbles himself before Him and submits to Him by doing what is prescribed by Islamic teaching with sincere devotion to Him alone and is a doer of good in that submission in the sense that his good deeds are in accordance with Islam, following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it may be that what is meant is whoever submits himself completely to Allah by doing all acts of worship and he does them well, so that he worships Allah as if he sees him, and if he does not see him, Allah sees him. Or whoever submits himself completely to Allah by fulfilling his duties towards him and does good in the sense that he is kind towards the slaves of Allah and fulfills his duties towards them. These meanings are all interconnected and there is no real difference between them, for they all point towards carrying out all the duties enjoined by Islam and doing all Islamic duties in an acceptable and perfect manner.
What you will often find in the books of tafsir, in the tafsir of verses like this, is that the scholars give examples. They give tafsir by example. So one will mention one aspect of the verse, another one will mention a second aspect, and another one the third. But all of them are speaking about the same thing. So they're not contradicting one another, they're complementing one another. And that is why the author says that all of these meanings are essentially one and the same.
Whoever does that has surrendered to Allah and has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. That is the handhold by which whoever grasps it will attain certainty and be saved and delivered from doom and will attain all good. Whoever does not submit himself completely to Allah and do good has not grasped the most trustworthy handhold. And if he has not grasped the most trustworthy handhold, there can be nothing but doom and destruction.
Most trustworthy handhold meaning the most firm handhold, that if you hold on to it, you will never go astray. You will stay upon the path that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal.
Allah decides the outcome of all matters. That is, all matters will return to Him in the end. Then He will pass judgment among His slaves and will requite them in accordance with their deeds and where those deeds led them to. So let them prepare for that. Whoever disbelieves, do not let his disbelief sadden you, because you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have done what you are obliged to do of calling them and conveying the message. If they are not guided, your reward is still due from Allah, and there is no point in grieving for anyone's not being guided. For if there had been any good in him, Allah would have guided him. Do not grieve also for their showing enmity towards you, opposing you and persisting in their misguidance and disbelief. For verily, to us they will return, and we will inform them about what they used to do of disbelief, enmity, and striving to extinguish the light of Allah and harm His messengers. Verily, Allah knows well. Allah knows well what is in their hearts, which is not spoken of. So how about that which is said openly and seen by people? We will allow them to enjoy life for a little while in this world, so that they may increase in sin and their punishment may become greater. Then we will drive them to a harsh punishment. That is a punishment that will reach the highest degree of grievousness and will be terrifying, immense, severe, and painful.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, surely Allah. Say, praise be to Allah. But most of them do not understand.
لله ما في السماوات والأرض إن الله هو الغني الحميد.
To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and on earth. Verily Allah is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise.
ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعد سبعة أبحر من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
If all the trees on earth were pens and the sea was ink replenished by seven more seas, the words of Allah would still not be exhausted. Verily, Allah is Almighty, Most Wise.
ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة إن الله سميع بصير.
The creation and resurrection of all of you are for Allah, as easy as the creation and the resurrection of a single soul. Verily, Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. That is, if you ask these polytheists who reject the truth, who created the heavens and the earth, they will realize that the idols never created any of that. And they will hasten to say, that is Allah alone who created them. So say to them, making them follow through with that idea and presenting an argument based on what they accepted, that Allah is the creator of all things, to prove that they were wrong with regard to what they denied, namely the oneness of Allah and His being the only one who is deserving of worship. Praise be to Allah, who has made the light shine clear and has shown evidence against you from your own selves. For if they understood, they would affirm that the one who is the only creator and controller is the one who deserves to be worshipped and to be acknowledged as the only God. But most of them do not understand. Therefore, they described others as partners to them and were content. They ascribed others as partners to him and were content with the contradictions in their belief in a manner that reflects confusion and doubt, not in a manner that reflects understanding. Then Allah mentions in these two verses examples of how all-encompassing His attributes are, so as to call His slaves to know Him, love Him, and devote their worship to Him alone. Allah tells us that His dominion includes everything and all that is in the heavens and on earth, which includes both the upper and lower realms, belongs to Him, and He controls all that in accordance with His divine will and decree, and in accordance with His religious commands and prohibitions, and in accordance with His rulings and reward and punishment. All of them are slaves under His control, and they have no share in dominion. He possesses all things, and He does not need what any of His creatures need. I seek no provision from them, nor do I want them to feed me. The deeds of the prophets, the strong and true in faith, the martyrs and the righteous do not benefit Allah in the slightest. Rather, they only benefit the doers. And Allah has no need of them or their deeds. Part of His possessing everything is that He gives them what they need in this world and the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is worthy of all praise, and that praiseworthiness is one of His essential attributes. He cannot be but praiseworthy in all ways. Thus, He is praiseworthy in His essence, and He is praiseworthy in His attributes. For each of His attributes, He deserves the most perfect praise, because they are attributes of greatness and perfection. He is to be praised for everything that He does and creates, and for everything that He enjoins and forbids. He is to be praised for everything that He has decreed for people, and for every judgment that He passes between people in this world and the hereafter. Then He tells us of the vastness and greatness of His words in a manner that deeply penetrates the heart, dazzles the mind, and instills wonder, and makes people of reason and understanding contemplate the depths of its meaning. If all the trees on earth were pens with which to write, and the sea was ink replenished by seven more seas of ink as an additional supply, those pens would break and that ink would run out. Yet the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be exhausted.
Allah Azza wa Jalla here gives the example of His words subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla's words are never ending. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla was to make every single tree upon this earth a pen, and every single body of water, sea, ocean, river into ink, and then multiply that by seven, still Allah's words were not finished before everything else was exhausted. And that shows, therefore, something which the scholars mention. Therefore, from all of that vast knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, the words that He chose to be in the Quran are of extreme importance. Allah could have put anything in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal's words are never ending. But Allah chose certain words and verses and stories and commands and principles and etiquettes to be in the Quran, which shows to you how, therefore, important the words of Allah Azza wa Jal in his book are.
This is not an exaggeration that has no basis in reality. Rather, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that human minds are unable to fully comprehend some of His attributes, and He knows that for His slaves, knowing Him is the greatest blessing that He may bestow upon them, and the best virtue they could attain. But it's not possible for them to fully understand the divine attributes as they really are, although that which cannot be attained in full should not be forsaken altogether. He pointed out to them this example, so as to illuminate their hearts, put their minds at ease, and enable them to grasp an idea by means of which they may gain some understanding of what they cannot grasp in full. Hence, they may say what the best of them, the one who had the greatest knowledge of his Lord, said, "We cannot praise you enough. You are as you have praised yourself." Muslim. Otherwise, the matter is much greater than that. The likeness is by way of simplifying the concept so that people may have some understanding of it, although it cannot be fully grasped. Otherwise, even if the trees and seas were many times more than what is mentioned, it can be imagined that they would run out and be exhausted because they are created things. But when it comes to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot be imagined that they would run out. Rather, rational and textual evidence indicates that they will never run out and never cease, for everything has an end except the Creator and its attributes.
The author here mentions that even if the trees and seas were many more times than what is mentioned, meaning the seven that are mentioned, then still they wouldn't be exhausted. But the number seven in the Arabic language has also the meaning of added multiplications. So the number seven, the Arabs use to mean many, many times more. And that is why often in the Quran you will find that Allah just speaks about 70 and 700 and 70,000. You find this in the Quran and the Sunnah. And many of the deeds that we do are in also multiples of seven, the tawaf and the sa'i and the stoning of the jamarat. You will find a number of acts of worship have the number seven surrounding them. And one of the reasons, and Allah knows best, is because amongst the Arab, the number seven and its derivatives, 70, 700, 7,000, 70,000, all of them denote a great number.
If one tries to imagine the facts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that state that He is the first and the last, whatever one can imagine of times of the past, no matter how far into the past he may go in his imagination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before that, from eternity. And no matter how far into the future he may go in his imagination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exist after that, unto eternity, without end. At all times, past, present, and future, Allah has been, is, and always will be speaking, saying, and doing whatever He wills. When He wills something, nothing can stand in the way of His words and actions. If the mind can understand the above, we will understand that the likeness that Allah gives of His words here is only to give people an idea about them. Otherwise, the matter is far greater than that. Then Allah mentions the majestic nature of His might and the perfect nature of His wisdom. Verily, Allah is Almighty, most wise. That is, all might belongs to Him, and whatever power exists in the upper and lower realms comes from Him, and He gave it to His creation. There is no power and no strength except with Him. By His might, He subjugated all of creation, and He controls them. By His wisdom, He created all things, and He initiated creation on the basis of wisdom, making the ultimate aims and goals behind creation based on wisdom. His commands and prohibitions are also based on wisdom, and His ultimate aim and goal is wisdom. Hence, He is the most wise in all that He creates and commands. Then He tells us of the greatness and perfect nature of His power, and that no mind can imagine it. The creation and resurrection of all of you are for Allah as easy as the creation and the resurrection of a single soul. This is something that astounds people, that the creation of all humankind with their great numbers and their resurrection after death is a single moment, after they had been scattered, is like the creation of a single soul. So there is no reason to think that the resurrection and requital for deeds is unlikely to happen, except for ignorance of the greatness and immense power of Allah. Then He tells us how He hears all sounds and sees all things. Verily, Allah is all hearing, all seeing.
Allah says, your creation and resurrection is like that of a single soul. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal wants to create something, He simply gives it one command and it becomes. He says, be and it is. And if Allah wants all of mankind to be recreated, He still has to give that one simple command and it is. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying. Whether it is one soul or all of mankind, the command of Allah is the one and the same, and therefore Allah Azza wa Jal does as He pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٌّ يَجْرِي إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Do you not see that Allah causes the night to encroach upon the day and the day to encroach upon the night, that He has made the sun and the moon to be of service, each running its course for an appointed time, and that Allah is well aware of all that you do?
ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير.
That is because Allah is the truth, and those they call upon besides Him are sheer falsehood. Verily Allah is the Most High, the Most Great. This also points to the fact that Allah alone is in control and managing the affairs of creation. And by means of the vastness of His control, He causes the night to encroach upon the day and the day to encroach upon the night, meaning that one of them infringes upon the other. So when one of them comes, the other one departs. He has made the sun and the moon to be of service, both of them running the course set for them, according to a system that has not failed, that has not faltered since they were created, so that there may be a great deal of benefit for them, for people, and their interests may be served in their religious and worldly affairs, because of which they may contemplate and pay heed. Each of them, the sun and the moon, running its course for an appointed time. When that time ends, they will stop running and will lose their position. That will be on the day of resurrection, when the sun will be folded and will be folded up, and the moon will become dark. The world would end, and the hereafter will begin. And that Allah is well aware of all that you do, of good and evil, for nothing is hidden from Him, and He will requite you for those deeds, rewarding those who were obedient and punishing those who were disobedient. That which has been explained to you of His greatness and attributes is because Allah is the truth in His essence and His attributes. His religion is true, His messengers are true, His promise is true, His warning is true, and worship of Him alone is true. And those they call upon besides Him are sheer falsehood in their essence and attributes. If Allah had not created them, they would not exist. And if He had not sustained them, they would not have survived. If it is false, then worship of it is even more false. Verily Allah is the Most High in His essence above all of His creation. His attributes are so sublime that they cannot be compared with the attributes of any of His creation. He is above His creation, so He subdued them. The Most Great, to whom belongs all greatness in His essence and attributes, and He is held in the highest esteem by the inhabitants of both heaven and earth.
أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ.
Do you not see that the ships sail on the sea by the grace of Allah, so that He may show you some of His signs? Surely in that there are signs for every steadfastly patient and deeply thankful person.
وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُم مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ.
When waves loom over them like the canopy of clouds, they call upon Allah with sincere devotion to Him alone. But when He has delivered them safely to the shore, some of them become lukewarm. But no one rejects our signs except the perfidious and the ungrateful. That is, do you not see that one of the signs of His power, mercy, and care for His slaves is that He has made the sea to be of service to them, and the ships sail on it by His command and decree, and by His kindness and favor, so that He may show you some of His signs. Because in His signs there is a great deal of benefit and much to contemplate.
Surely in that there are signs for every steadfastly patient and deeply thankful person. For they are the ones who benefit from the signs. They are steadfastly patient in bearing hardship and deeply thankful at times of ease. They are steadfastly patient in obeying Allah and refraining from disobedience and in accepting His decree. And they are deeply thankful to Allah for all blessings, both spiritual and worldly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the situation of people when they travel by sea, when waves loom over them like the canopy of clouds, and how they call upon Allah with sincere devotion to Him alone. But when He has delivered them safely to the shore, people are divided into two groups. One group becomes lukewarm, that is, they do not give proper thanks to Allah, rather they commit sin and wrong themselves. Another group is ungrateful for the blessing of Allah and denies that blessing. Hence Allah says, but no one rejects our signs except the perfidious, that is, betrayers. Part of their betrayal is that they promised their Lord, if you save us from the sea and its hardship, we will be among the grateful. But they betrayed that promise and did not fulfill it. And the ungrateful, who did not give thanks for the blessings of Allah, is it befitting for those whom Allah saved from this hardship to do anything but give proper thanks for the blessings of Allah?
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور.
O humankind, fear your Lord and dread a day when no father will avail his child and no child will avail his father at all. Verily the promise of Allah is true, so do not let the life of this world deceive you or let any deceiver deceive you concerning Allah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs people to fear Him, which means complying with His commands and refraining from what He forbids. He also reminds them to fear the day, that difficult day, when no one will care for anyone else except themselves, and no father will avail his child, and no child will avail his father at all. No one will be able to increase his good deeds or decrease his bad deeds. Everyone's deeds will have been decided, and the required for those deeds will become due.
As the Prophet ﷺ said to the companion who came with his young son, and the Prophet ﷺ could see that he loved him dearly, and he said to him, the companion, is this your son? And the companion replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And he was proud of his son, had a great deal of affection and love for him. The Prophet ﷺ said, but a day will come and you will not avail him and he will not avail you. And that is Yawmul Qiyamah. So only the people of good will help one another on that day. But otherwise no one will come to the salvation or the help or the aid of another, because everyone on that day would only be preoccupied with themselves.
Allah draws our attention to this momentous day so as to give the individual strength and make it easy for him to fear Allah and comply with His commands. By His mercy towards His slaves, Allah instructs them to fear Him, which will lead to bliss, and He promises reward for that. And He warns of the punishment, motivating them through exhortation and admonition. To you be all praise, O Lord of the worlds. Verily the promise of Allah is true, so do not doubt it, and do not act like one who does not believe. Hence Allah says, so do not let the life of this world deceive you with its adornments and attractions and what it contains of temptations and trials, or let any deceiver deceive you concerning Allah. This refers to the shaitan, who keeps trying to deceive a man and never slackens in his efforts at any time. Allah has rights over his slave, and He has set an appointed time for them when He will requite them for their deeds, whether they fulfilled their duty towards Him or fell short. This is a matter to which one must pay attention and keep it in mind at all times, basing all his affairs on that. One of the greatest obstacles and hindrances that he faces is this tempting world and the shaitan who whispers to him and tries to mislead him. Allah has forbidden his slaves to be deceived by this world or to be deceived by the deceivers concerning Allah. Shaitan makes promises to them and fulfills them with false hopes, but shaitan makes promises to them only in order to deceive them.
إن إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِندَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ.
Verily Allah alone has knowledge of the hour. It is He who sends down rain, and He knows what every womb contains. No soul knows what it will do on the morrow, and no soul knows in what land it will die. Verily Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. It is established that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses both the unseen and the seen, the visible and the hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may inform His slaves about many unseen matters. But these five things are things of which knowledge is withheld from all creatures, and they are not known to any prophet who was sent or any angel who is close to Allah, let alone other creatures.
As is mentioned in the hadith in Sahih Muslim of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the keys of the unseen are five only with Allah. These five things only Allah knows, and then he recited this verse. These five things that are mentioned are from the keys of the unseen that Allah Azza wa Jalla alone knows, that He gave no knowledge of to anyone else.
Verily Allah alone has knowledge of the hour. That is, He alone knows when it will begin. And He says elsewhere, they ask you about the hour, when it will come to pass. Say, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord alone. None but He can disclose when its time will come. It will weigh heavily on the heavens and the earth. It will not come upon you but suddenly. It is He who sends down rain. That is, He is the only one who sends it down and knows the time when it comes down.
Allah Azza wa Jalla alone is the one who controls the rain and determines where it will go and when it will descend. And no one else can change that. And no one else knows its precise moment except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we know that, how today they will forecast that there's rain tomorrow, but by tomorrow there's no rain. It changes from moment to moment, hour to hour, every few hours, because only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows its reality and when it will come, and then for how long it will remain as well.
And He knows what every womb contains. For He is the one who created what is in the womb. He knows what it is and whether it is male or female. Hence the angel who is appointed over the womb asks his Lord, is it male or female? And Allah decrees whatever He wills.
And that is only one aspect of the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning the womb. Because now, today, through modern technology, people can find out what the gender of the child or the baby is in the womb. But that's only one aspect of what Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the scholars of tafsir said, He didn't say who is in the womb. He said, only Allah has knowledge of what is in the womb. Because from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal is what the rizq of that child is going to be, what the lifespan of that child is going to be. Is that child going to be righteous or is it going to be wretched, a believer, a disbeliever? That is something that only Allah Azza wa Jal knows in terms of the full details of what is contained in the womb.
No soul knows what it will do on the morrow in either spiritual or worldly terms. And no soul knows in what land it will die. Rather, it is Allah alone who has knowledge of all these things.
So these are the five things that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has knowledge of.
Having singled out these things for mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then highlights the fact that He knows all things. As He says, verily Allah is all-knowing, all-aware, and His knowledge encompasses all things visible and hidden, subtle matters and what is in people's hearts. By His perfect wisdom, He has withheld knowledge of these five things from His slaves because that serves some interest, as is clear to anyone who reflects and ponders the matter. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Luqman. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
With that, we come to the end of today's lesson. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.